Hello, New Hampshire. This is Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths, sponsored by First Principles on WSMN 1590, Nashua's source of news and talk. This morning, we have a very special guest with us. Her name is Maria Espinoza. Maria co-founded the Remembrance Project in order to bring the focus back to our families. One of their initiatives is the Stolen Lives Quilt Initiative, that honors and remembers Americans killed by illegal aliens. Born in Rotan, Texas, Maria is a first-generation American. Her father legally immigrated to the United States and became a citizen. She worked in strawberries, raspberries, bulbs, and waited tables in the family business. Applying what her parents taught her, she earned a track scholarship to Abilene Christian University and is an All-American miler. Maria shares her passion inspiring the All-American story and encourages all to insist that our Constitution is followed and our laws are being upheld in order to preserve the futures of our families. Maria is also the president of Houston's Eagle Forum. Welcome to We Hold These Truths, Maria.
Thank you, Karen. Good morning. Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate you giving our American families a voice.
Well, absolutely. And Maria, when I heard you the first time, you were bringing a different side to the immigration discussion. We keep hearing about the illegal aliens and how we need to be compassionate. But you're bringing forward a side of it that most people aren't hearing of. Would you like to expound on that?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, let's start with how can we be compassion for someone else? We're not compassion with our own citizens. And so, you know, let's start there. But, you know, what we're up against right now is the mainstream media is not reporting these crimes as, you know, perpetrated upon Americans by illegal aliens. And usually there is a violent crime, or, you know, we deal with the deaths only. There are thousands and thousands of children being molested and women being raped that just is not brought to the attention of the public. A lot of this crime stays local, and so there is no connection for the American people to see that this is a pattern in this demographic.
And so you're talking about deaths. Tell us about one of those instances.
Well, I'll tell you another one that you heard. I can tell you Laura Wilkerson's, and we can start there. George and Laura Wilkerson have three children. Their youngest son is Joshua. Now, their youngest son Joshua was 18, and he gave a classmate who he was just acquainted with a ride home. And within 2 hours, he had been beaten, strangled, tied up, and burned. It was a horrific, horrific crime. And Mrs. Wilkerson, you know, talked about this terrible crime at the radio station, on the radio show that you listen to. And she's also gone public with this. And it's very, very difficult. Now, think about this. It's been 2.5 years since Joshua was murdered. It's very difficult for these families to pick up the pieces and even talk about this horrific crime. They have to relive this nightmare every single day, and it just shatters our families. And, you know, I see that the families, it's very difficult for them to come forward, so therefore they're not heard. And it makes it a lot easier for these elected officials to just ignore them, and a lot easier for the media to ignore them or even call them racist. And that is a huge problem that I have spoken with other organizations who have said the same thing. Once their family members who are suffering terribly come forward and speak out and demand that something is done, the very basic of responsibilities that our federal government has and local, you know, they are called names, they're called races, they're told to sit quietly and be civil to these this animal across the corner who has just done the most horrific things to their youngest child. So, you know, we really want to bring this to the attention of the public and to tell you that if you are in a small state like New Hampshire, Rhode Island, North Carolina, you are absolutely not excluded from these types of happenings, because they might be coming up through that those southern borders and the southern states, but they are heading your way. They are not staying here. Only several months ago, we had a truckload that had crashed, and it had 17 illegals. They were heading to Pennsylvania. So we might be the hub here in Houston, but they're going to your cities. And if you just take a look online, take a little time to do some research and see how much your state, you know, spends on illegal aliens. How much is it costing you? You might not feel it, the impact directly, because it's in your taxes. It's in, you know, your wages as well. You know, our middle-class families are really struggling to support their families because that illegal alien workforce keeps that wage down. You know, our standard of living is completely different than what Mexico's standard of living is. And you have 10 men here working a construction job and in one little apartment, their standard of living is certainly not what America's. We're not going to pile in 10 families into one little apartment. So, you know, let's take a look at that. But you know, I'm kind of going on, but it is everywhere, Karen. So, you know, we're trying to bring attention to what is taking place and destroying our families.
Well, let's back up a little bit. You talked about Laura Wilkerson's 18-year-old son who gave someone a ride. Who was he giving a ride to?
Yes, this was Hermelio Morales. He was an illegal alien from Belize. He arrived here when he was 10 years old, and he was just an acquaintance. Joshua gave him a ride home, and as soon as he lured him, I guess, into his backyard there, and he punched Joshua and just shattered his nose. And on the stand, he talked about why he did that. He wanted to blind him. And Joshua was a slight young man. And he kicked him. And Hermelio Morales was a third degree in jiu-jitsu, some sort of martial arts. And he kicked him so hard in his stomach that it sliced his spleen.
Well, now, why was this young man who was the illegal alien, why did he do this? Did he say?
Well, when he was testifying, he said something about that Joshua had kicked his dog and it made him angry. I did not know Joshua personally, but I met some of his friends and all, and no one believes that story. You know what? However, what did was pretty evident that he was after his truck, and a few weeks before he murdered Joshua, he was asking a friend of his about scrapping a vehicle and where he would go to scrap it, you know, for money. So, you know, I believe that is his purpose, to kill Joshua and get his truck. And he did have Joshua's key with him after he killed him. So he kept it, thinking he would probably get away with it. But back to what happened, he took a closet pole and hit Joshua repeatedly over the head, and fractured his head in four places, and then tied him up. He was strangling him slowly, so he was torturing Joshua. He would strangle him and release him, and strangle and release him, and he described it on the stand.
Oh, my gosh. Now, of course, now, The Wilkerson boy is not the only situation you're reporting on. What about this young lady in Virginia that was stabbed by an illegal immigrant?
Yep. That would be Brittany Binger. She was 16 years old and on her way home from a friend's house. And she was attacked from behind by an illegal alien who was a deaf mute. He had been previously deported, so he had priors. And was a construction worker living with his brother. And he brutally beat her and raped her. And she had to be identified by her dental records. And now he's been in and out of state hospitals. And they're trying to teach him how to read sign or learn sign language here.
But
so
this
they
is
can communicate with him.
But this is a person who is here, who's broken the law to get here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And look, he's had, he's given glasses, you know, here it's on the taxpayer dollar. And he's been taken care of. He's been seeing doctors and even given a pair of reading glasses. And when our own veterans have to wait in these long lines even to get some sort of medical attention. We were very backwards right now, Karen, and we're really trying hard to turn things around and bring it back to our families. But look at this. This killer was almost released last year. So his trial should be coming up here shortly. I mean, any day now, probably next month, from if I can recall correctly here, should be August, September when he was supposed to go to jail. To trial. So, you know, if this, and let me, there is something that was very peculiar about this, too. He might be set free because he cannot participate in his own defense. Carmelia Morales was told by another criminal that if he did not speak to his attorneys, they couldn't charge him because he could not participate in his defense.
So
it baffles me.
It does. It's unbelievable that we are using our laws against our citizens rather than defending our citizens, securing the borders, and making our citizens safe in this particular case. Now, we talked about Virginia. We've talked about Texas. Are there other states where there have been atrocities performed by illegal aliens that people are not talking about?
Oh, absolutely. Backing up, you know, we've thrown common sense out the window, completely thrown common sense out the window how we're treating illegal aliens. Yeah, so let's take a look in Nebraska. There is a 93-year-old woman who was brutally beaten and raped by a 19-year-old illegal alien. And that horrific. He was drunk and angry at women, which seems to be a pattern here. And Danny Countryman, she was a Texan who visited her sister in Oregon. She was graduating, and they had a party. She went up there and, again, raped and murdered by two illegals. The list goes on. I mean, there is the Ohio woman who was just raped and killed. There was a 16-month-old, and even a 1-month-old is the youngest that I've seen was raped and killed. The list goes on. Right here in Houston, you know, Officer Rodney Johnson shot 5 times in the back of the head, and the man he was working for in landscape, he helped bring him back over the second time from Mexico. He served 6 months in jail. Shatavia Anderson, walking home, young 14-year-old girl, an illegal alien for no reason but to rob a 14-year-old girl of $7 and an earring, shot her in the back when she was trying to get away. Carrie Ruiz, right now, still cannot get, has not gotten justice for her daughter. Her killer fled to Venezuela 14 years ago. He is married with 2 daughters of his own. And our government can't do anything to pressure Venezuela to give him up. It's insane, Karen. And this has to stop. And these crimes are 100% preventable.
This is Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths, and we're speaking with Maria Espinoza, who co-founded the Remembrance Project in order to bring the focus back to our families and raise the awareness of stolen lives through their Stolen Lives quilt, stolen lives that were given up primarily or taken by illegal aliens attacking American citizens. Now, Maria, talk about the Stolen Lives quilt. What are you trying to do there, and what are you trying to accomplish?
Yes, the Stolen Lives quilt is a visual memorial of Americans who have been killed by illegal aliens. And right now we're in, say, 20 states. And the quilt is digitally printed on fabric. It is 6 feet long by 3 feet, and it displays three victims and short information on it. If you go online, you will see some photos. But we want every state to honor and remember Americans and not let our elected officials, supposedly representing citizens, to forget the great losses and to do something about this. This is so long in coming to uphold our laws, enforce our laws, while many of these companies who use this illegal alien workforce, their profit margins increase, while the average person's wage stays the same. Our education system, our health system, you know, they get free social benefits. They don't put anything into it. You know, Mexico, there are five or six states in Mexico that push out their people. And why I know this is because two-thirds of the illegals from Mexico come from those five or six states. So this is a certainly intentional to push out their citizens, but also our government. You know, our elected officials, they receive a lot of money for their reelection campaigns. They need to consider our families first, foremost. We have to be in the right at the top of the list of their minds, heart, and souls, Karen. And the quilt helps to do that. It helps remind them. We don't even have to say anything. This is what we are losing, and we're not letting you off the hook. So we're spreading the word all across the nation, and we're standing behind our families because we know they have to go through a nightmare every single day, no matter if it's 14 years like Terry Louise, Ruiz, or 2.5 years like Laura Wilkerson, or Jamil Shah in California with his son. This is a terrible atrocity against our American families, and our elected officials need to step down if they're not going to place our families first.
So where can someone find out the information about this quilt and also about your project?
Yes, if they go online to the rememberanceproject.org, they will see a tab called 2013 Campaign, and there's information there. It tells you where we are, who our state leaders are, and they'll give you an email. Please email your information. If you want to take up the Stolen Lives quilt and the cause for American families, it's there, so please contact us. And, again, it's very simple to make the Stolen Lives quilt. It's all done digitally in Publisher, and we get them printed, and we send it off. It's just cut and paste information about the victims in your state. But we're also asking everyone, Karen, to tell your representatives right now, especially during the recess, to concentrate on three things: the about 25 million jobless Americans, the $17 trillion debt, and to enforce and uphold all local, state, and federal laws. You know, there is no urgency to address the illegal alien at this time. If we do these top three things, it will fall in place.
Okay. And now, Maria Espinoza from the Remembrance Project, tell us also, you are campaigning to get people to the grassroots, basically, to talk to their legislators about these three items. Would you repeat those again?
Yes. We want our elected officials to concentrate on the 25 million jobless Americans. Number two, the $17 trillion debt. Number three, to enforce our laws. You know, that is what we need right now. There is no reason for them to try and legalize illegal aliens, especially when there are people in line and have paid, like my father. He paid, he waited, he did all the right things. And what happened? He assimilated. He respects Americans and America. And I'm the product. So, I mean, we have to uphold at the very minimum, Karen, our laws. And I've gone down to the Arizona border. I've gone to Falfurrias, Texas, and talked with the Texas Border Volunteers down there. I went on a watch for two nights. And we have a huge problem. And these are Americans, and it's not just, again, a border state problem. These are Americans from all over. We get from other states coming down to Texas to help watch the border. All they do is observe and report. We call the Border Patrol, and when I was out there on one of the nights, there were four illegal aliens with a backpack. And this is 70 miles from the border.
Wow.
Backpack is our drug, so they're bringing drugs into our communities. This is dangerous. This is very dangerous.
Now, the border crossings where you're talking about, and you're saying you're making these observations from 70 miles away from the border?
Oh, yes, ma'am, Karen. It is unbelievable, and especially with the enticement that this administration has put out there. I mean, we know the border has not been secure for decades.
And there's no fence along the Texas border, am I correct?
Right, there's no fence, but also there are things that they can do, period. We're the only country, I believe, that does not enforce its laws. I mean, if we enforced our borders and our laws like Mexico, protects their border, enforces their immigration laws, we wouldn't have this problem. You know, Mexico comes here, Calderon, I guess, came here last year and shook his finger at us. Well, you know what? Why don't we do the same thing that you're doing there, Mexico?
Exactly.
It's simple. I mean, they shoot people coming across their southern border.
Yes, and as I understand, we are going down to help them reinforce their southern border. But we won't enforce our own southern border.
Exactly. So this is all orchestrated. There's a larger picture, Karen. You know, I want to bring the whole focus back to our families, because we need to start here at the basics. If we don't take care of our own children, and just because maybe your family or my family has not been directly affected as far as a death, it doesn't have to get to that point, and it will. And if there are thousands of people who are quiet in their homes in their own nightmare. And we have to do something to help our fellow American and not let them feel or let the government ignore them.
Correct. This is Karen Testerman on We Hold These Truths. And we're speaking with Maria Espinoza, who is also the president of the Houston Eagle Forum, as well as the co-founder of the Remembrance Project, in order to bring the focus back to our families. She's been highlighting the Honor and Remember initiative in the Stolen Lives Quilt Project that would honor and remember Americans who have been killed by illegal aliens. Now, the other thing that you said a couple of different times was that these, I would say that they're convicted at this point, attackers, have also been deported at one point, but they're back across the borders. Did I hear you right?
Oh, absolutely. If you can do a quick search on the web and find out that most of these perpetrators who are caught finally have prior records. You know, they come and go and almost as they please. And most of these, other than like Familia Morales illegals, have been deported. Or also, when they're caught, we tell them, you need to go home. So here you go. We're going to release you, but you need to leave the country. Do you think they leave the country? This is no common sense again. Yes, absolutely. Occurrences and DUI, DWIs, and finally until they kill someone, finally you know, we arrest them and hold them.
Now, even though they've done the ultimate by taking somebody else's lives, are they then sentenced? Are they then sent back home? Is there any consequence for their actions?
Yes, you know, it depends on which state is holding them and what they do and the crime. Some are, they serve their time, then they're released back into the community. Or they serve their time and we deport them. However, their country of origin does not accept them. And why we tolerate that is unbeknownst to me.
Well, I would think they would be in